All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of Thursday, August 16th, 2012. May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right. Next up, we have the agenda and the one addendum for bus routes. So I don't seem to have my addendum here. It should be number 14 on your playlist. So if there's no...
There will not be a high point report today.
There will not be a high point report. So if you could please cross off 4.3 on your agenda. Are there any other changes to the agenda? If not, I need a motion to accept the agenda and the addendum as presented.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Glaster.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, the superintendent's report.
First of all, let me start by saying thank you for tonight. Thanks, everyone, for coming. I appreciate everyone coming out on their time. It's been an amazing day, to be really honest, so I'm kind of bubbly, so I'm sorry. But this is kind of the perfect ending to a day that started out fantastic. We had convocation today, as many of you know, and appreciate you coming. We had a great day. Teachers, I feel, left enthused. They came in enthused, but I think it's always a sense of anxiousness with someone new, and had a amazing day. Felt very, very good about we gave them an overview, kind of a fact. I guess facts and information about the levy, and as well kind of set our priorities around moving into the Common Core and the difficult work we have coming up this school year, working with alignment and shifting our instructional practice to be prepared for that change. So I think things were well received, and it was a good day. As well, I want to hit on a couple items I emailed you about, if that's okay. I talked to you about... looking at possibly going to a program called Board Docs for our board meetings, and there was a webinar today. I'm not sure if anyone was able to.
I did not.
I know Cindy and I looked at that. As we're looking at becoming efficient and efficiency measures, certainly Board Docs creates some opportunities for us to run a little more efficiently with manpower and hours. As well as paper. Several districts use, I know Westerville, Reynoldsburg, Southwestern, I believe Worthington as well. There's some great search tools and pieces to that. Jeff, Cindy, would you?
Well, I think it's a bigger issue. You know, it's a place where you can store all of your policies. You know, really all of the documents that we get, it allows you to run your meeting through there. You know, so you can take notes, and like for me, I take notes at our board meeting, and then, yeah. You know, sometimes I'm not sure where they go, but it allows you to go back and search your notes. It's a if I'm a community member, I can go in there and I can look, and it shows me all those documents, and it's just a nice, you know, it's a nice clean place to keep everything together. So if I needed to search, and I think what did they say? There's like 34 districts in Central Ohio or in Ohio that use it. So if I want to search on, let's say, bullying. I can go through there, and it'll search all 34 districts in Ohio that use it, and it'll show you, you know, where they talked about it at their meetings, whether it's in their minutes, whether it's in their policies, whether it's part of OSBA's policies. It's just a nice central area to do it, and it certainly gets us away from doing a lot of this stuff. You know, you can sit up on your laptop or whatever, and it's all right there, and you can run your meetings through it, and it's the other really cool thing about it was they have a thing called Scoreboard on there. And so while you're going through your meeting, it runs the agenda. You can put it up on the wall, and it runs the agenda on there. And so if you're sitting out in the audience, you can follow through on the agenda. You can see how everybody votes on it, and it's really kind of a neat thing. And so for me, I think it would be a huge tool in the ways of not only efficiency, but really transparency. Is, you know, is if people need to go back and, you know, you go back however many years you want to put in there and say, you know, didn't we, how many times have we said, oh, gosh, didn't we talk about this at some meeting ago? And you have to go back to your emails and stuff like that. It's just a, it's.
And that would get, we would get rid of the paper then.
Absolutely.
Right. Everything, you would have a device if you wanted to bring your own, or you could set up district laptops, or if you have an iPad and you'd work through that, Cindy would be able to take the minutes directly on that, be able to revise them, and they're done. There wouldn't also, if you think about the steps that happen at the board office, Cindy does that, it goes to Donna, it comes back to Cindy to be verified once again before they're published. On the forefront, we did some figuring of hours, anywhere from 8 to 12 hours preparing agendas, addendums. You know, HR will send a modification that has to be put in and changed, where the system would allow HR to be able to build their own section of the agenda and forward in. So it kind of takes over that redundancy piece when you're talking about efficiency as well.
The other thing on it, too, is not only that, it also downloads our minutes, those minutes,
the audio
ones. Nice. And it could be automatically downloaded right there onto that, so they'd be all together. You'd have your audio, you'd have the written ones that we usually have, and the efficiency of it was just amazing.
So would all that be on a website run by Board Docs, or would it be integrated with our...
It would be on a cloud by Board Docs. They've got two different areas. They've got it, and there's, you know...
They have two, one's in Denver, and one's in
Virginia
somewhere.
Yeah.
And actually, I know Westerville, they use it. They actually have their audio spliced out to that agenda item. You know, so you don't have to go searching.
Right.
You know, so if you don't have to listen the whole way through to figure out when they talk about it. You bring it up, it tells you about that agenda item, and says this is the audio that goes with that.
Will we
agenda.
Have to, will we have to do something.
I'm not sure about that. I just know that they do it. I know
that
the capability. I know that that's a capability of that.
That's the capability that
they showed that example today.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well.
There's $1,000 training. They come in, sit down, and work with the different people in different areas. So they would obviously work with all of you as well. And then for the light, which doesn't have all the capability that we talked about tonight, is $2,700 a year. For the pro, which pretty much encompasses everything we talked about, is $9,600 a year. So we're trying to work on... again, we were able to just see the webinar today to really talk about what is our cost savings with that, with man hours and redundancy. So I don't have a figure for you on that. But.
And I will say, honestly, I don't think doing the light version, there's enough functionality missing out of there. I'm not really sure you would save as much time doing it that way. I mean, there's just not, you can't run your minutes through there. You can't do the scoreboard stuff. You can't, some of the editing tools aren't quite as open.
And that includes, obviously, all the storage space on their servers.
Yeah, it's all theirs.
And 24/7 help desk type.
Yeah, that's cool. You can call anytime to get help.
Yeah.
So what happens to that stuff if we ever decide to stop using Board Docs?
That's an excellent question.
Jeff asked that. I asked that they would give me a follow-up call tomorrow, so I'll have to ask that question. I'm not sure.
But I do know we can upload all of our old minutes or as far back as we want to load up there and put them in there. It's not like you would start from today. I know there's the opportunity to load some of those older ones back up there.
Would there be a fee to do that?
I think we could do that.
Oh, we could. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
They train you on how to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. The only other question I would have is if there's any kind of history of their pricing. You know, what has it been over the past couple of years? What kind of increase?
They said
they hadn't had an increase since they've been with OSBA. And that's been 2005.
Yeah.
And the pricing is based from what OSBA sets the price in Ohio.
That's good.
They partnered with OSBA. That's who was running the webinar today.
They would be willing to set up an individual webinar if you'd like me to look into that first, you know, so that we could look into it a little bit deeper for those of you who should.
She did keep it right at an hour. I was pretty amazed. And she even answered a couple questions on it. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Would you like me to look into that? Or?
I think it's worthwhile to look into.
I would I'm personally satisfied with. I can picture it.
It's cool. It's amazing. In fact, you can go to Westerville's site and look at theirs.
I was gonna say,
they do a very good job.
That's what I would encourage you to do.
Well, I looked at one school district that was using it, so I was fooling around with.
Right. And I guess really the last thing I'll add to that, which I thought was pretty cool too, you can put your strategic plan in there, and then you can tie your agenda items to each one of the items on your strategic agenda or your strategic plan. So mm-hmm. as you talk about it throughout the year, you can see that they're tied together.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
And it links to the item, right?
Right.
So we can put race at the top on there. We can do really the capability is huge.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
All right. I also talked to you about possibly, I told you, all those meetings I didn't say anything, I'm catching up. When I talked, sent an email out about possibly thinking about changing our location, I did get some response and interest about maybe looking at a different place for our meetings. Is that something, I know one person responded, maybe looking at using the old middle school as a possible meeting site for future meetings. And I didn't know how you might like to move forward with that.
I like the idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. That's
okay.
I'm okay with that. As long as there's a place, obviously there's a place for an overhead there.
Yes, there is.
And a flag. It's pretty much two things we need: overhead and a flag.
All right. I think we had administrative retreat, and I talked to you about that, and really have had some great work sessions with our principals and. And I would really call them work sessions. I think the principals left tired and really on the right target with some of the work we're doing. As you know, that the expectation has been given to principals that we roll out Common Core curriculum next school year. So we have the opportunity to play around with it, start to learn from each other as professionals about what's going well, because it is a huge transformation with our instructional practice that's going to be taking place with the Common Core. And in order to achieve that work, time always comes forward, time with our teachers to work and plan and develop lessons and work through that together. So it's my understanding in previous years, and maybe prior to many of you, or most of you maybe being on the board, that we had a prime time Wednesday schedule, which I have run in other districts. Which is basically a two-hour delay schedule, but it's that time is used for professional development. Typically works best in the morning because everybody's minds are fresh and you get them coming in the door instead of having them at the end of the day. So I gave you a copy of this year's calendar, and what I did was I highlighted three months in which there is not a professional development day. There's either not a waiver day or an in-service day. Really what we're doing is trying to get that continuity. There's a feeling that we meet, maybe a month or two till we get back together. It takes us a time to revisit that. So the hope would be that we could get look at a prime time two-hour delay on those three dates, which would be September 19th, December 12th, and February 6th.
Now, those aren't the same. Those aren't all three the same, either blue or red kindergarten days, are they?
It's a great question. I don't know. I don't have the red and blue schedule here, so I'd have to look it up.
Okay. I mean, that would be my only question.
If you tell me the day of the week, I can tell you.
They're all Wednesdays.
They're all
alternating. Yeah.
Right.
That's like kindergarten
calendar. I can look that up, and I can alter, to be honest with you, depending on when that is.
That would be my only concern. I mean, were you looking for direction from us?
I'm looking for an okay from you guys to move forward with something like that.
I'm okay with that. Like I said, I know the amount of work. Well, I kind of know the amount of work that's going into that core curriculum. So, all the professional development we can get this year, we're gonna need.
Okay. Great. And then how about I double check that the dates and then let you know.
That would be cool.
The other piece that Cindy and I discovered today that we wanted to give you an update on in looking at enrollment from May to now, May enrollment was 5,298 students. Currently, right now, we're sitting at 5,440 students.
What?
Yes.
Wow. So that would be an increase of 150. 50-something?
Yeah.
Are they all across the board, or is that like kindergartners?
All across the board.
Wow.
Which is good. Which is very good.
What does that mean for us, teacher-wise? I mean, are we going to have to...
We're sitting, especially at kindergarten, we may have to do a little bit of shifting. Our numbers are approaching uncomfortable levels at a couple buildings, but other than that, we seem to be okay right now.
Okay.
And the shifting can take place from one building to the next, it appears, and looking at our numbers.
Cool. Good deal.
And then the last item, I just wanted to give you a little update on Latin's situation. We've kind of had an open dialogue going on about the Latin issue at the high school. We obviously could not find a replacement for the Latin teacher who retired late and, or didn't retire, resigned late. Sorry about that. And we're not happy with the quality of candidate that came through, and so offered, much like we had talked about, 3 and 4, an opportunity to take an online class where the students will report to a lab that will be monitored by an adult. The 4 will be an AP level class, and 3. 1s and 2s, we asked to make another option or take another foreign language. As well, we ran into some unique situations where it may have been a senior sitting in the 2, so we have made accommodations for them to take an online 2 so that kids could still get that second credit in before graduation. So that is moving forward. It currently appears that there are about 5 students in the Latin 2 and 13 students in Latin 3 and 7 in the AP Latin. So
that's 25 kids?
Taking advantage of that.
Now, I'm gonna go on a limb. I'm going to say, is the reason you can't find Latin is just because no one... Do people not come out of college knowing Latin, I guess? Is that going to be a bigger problem if we intend to move forward to that? Or is that just a Band-Aid on what our current problem is with Latin? Is it just nobody teaches it?
It's not a very popular offering anymore. Many districts have gone away from that. Many colleges don't offer that licensure anymore as a teaching credential. It was my understanding the first round of interviews, and that was prior to me coming here, really some of them weren't even necessarily licensed the correct way. So we felt like we had a strong candidate, and unfortunately they had an opportunity to work with the professor and chose that instead of coming here.
So I can't imagine finding a Latin teacher in the future would be any easier.
Correct.
So what do our other districts around here that don't offer Latin, what do they do?
Well, we've had conversations. Some people offer more online offerings for students. Credit Flex is always an opportunity for students to take advantage of, to take unique classes that they'd like to take that we don't offer. So they would have to turn in that Credit Flex plan for approval. Many others have turned to different kind of global languages, Japanese, Chinese, those kind of things. So,
and those kind of things are easier to staff, I assume.
In prior districts, we had a difficult time with some Chinese. We had to look at virtual opportunities with that as well.
Okay. Right. But we're still making offerings for our AP kids. I mean, that's really what Latin was for, was mostly for our AP kids.
Correct.
So we're still going to make a different type of offering for our AP kids.
Correct.
Moving forward, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, good.
That's all I have for this evening. Just a reminder, tomorrow's the middle school orientation day. Monday will be the freshman day, and then Tuesday, everybody see you.
Did you find out about buses?
No.
There was a question. I'll raise it. There was a question, and I think we even talked about it Monday at our transportation meeting. We do not post our bus routes on our website, correct?
Correct.
But I believe a letter went out to our middle school parents that said it was going to be on the website, correct?
Correct. And then there was School Connect's messages sent out after that to to fix that in a follow-up letter.
Okay. Wow. No, that's fine. I just want to make sure.
Yeah. No, the intent was right to get the information to pay parents.
Absolutely.
But we don't
want
to put that out on the web.
Right. So, no, I won't say it. Say something that would get me in trouble. So, all right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, the treasurer's report.
Okay. I'm going to give you a couple small things, and then we have a guest with us tonight. We have had six hearing results for a board of revision, and we received increases on the taxable value of $852,000. So it would be about another $3,400 in taxes off of our inside millage. The auditors are complete with the cash portion except for one small little thing because our EMIS person is on maternity leave, so they can't talk to her. So they'll be back and pick that one up in a gap time. So that's done. Things are looking pretty good. A few things that we just need to take care of, and no problem. The other one is I went to a meeting last week with the people that are doing the wireless and all that, and they've offered us a 0% financing for 3 years. Would you be willing to let me look at that and see what it is at 0% instead of 2%?
To do what?
For the technology financing for the wireless, the servers, the phone systems.
Absolutely.
And that would help shore up, you know, some of the things that we might need to do in case of something happening with our PI money for the maintenance.
No, that instead of us paying it right out of the pocket like we were going to do.
Yes.
So we're just going to stretch that out over 3 years.
3 years, yeah, at 0%. And I need to see it before I say it. I really want to look at it, but at 0%, I think it's a pretty...
All you're doing is just cutting that payment
in
3 years.
In 3 years, exactly. So if you have no problem, I'll go forward and... Once we figured out how much and what it is, I thought it'd be a good idea.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Tonight we have John Adams here from Fifth Third. I think John's been here before when we've talked about bonds, so everybody knows John. He's here to discuss our refinancing because next month at the September meeting, we will have our resolutions to do the refinancing. So with that, John, I'm going to let you... have the floor.
You're going to dazzle us with your bond knowledge again.
I hope everyone had a lot of caffeine.
You did. Wow. We're getting there.
These help this kind of conversation just to put some numbers to it. I hide the best over here behind the pillar.
Yeah.
Just to give you an overview, and we've talked through some of this before, but to give you an overview, the bonds have been structured for the last, you know, about 1995, with a couple of goals in mind. The first goal is to, as best you can, spread the cost of the facility, the financing cost, over all your taxpayers, not just the taxpayers in the year that is approved, but taxpayers that will be using the facilities in the future as well. Well, part of that process requires guessing what assessed valuation is going to be in the future. And so that's where the rub comes. Of course, assessed valuation, we made what appeared to be very conservative assumptions in terms of growth in assessed valuation, but as it turns out, they weren't quite conservative enough. The other part of that goal, however, was to make certain that as best we can, we get the debt retired as rapidly as possible within those original projections. Well, what we need to do now is via the vehicle of a refinancing. We're refinancing just like refinancing the home mortgage. New debt is issued. The new debt's issued at lower interest rates than the old debt. You use the proceeds from the new debt to pay off the old bonds. So right now, interest rates are historically low. It's a great time to do a refunding. Now, you have some debt that, starting in September 1st of this year, is eligible to be refinanced. So we're getting prepared to do that, assuming there's approval from the board. Prepared to issue the refunding bonds. As part of that process, in addition to reducing your total debt service, we'll do a little restructuring. So we'll restructure so slightly more principal is retired in the future years versus the current schedule. So we get a little bit better fit with what is now the reality for assessed valuation. Still the same goal being to spread the debt burden over future taxpayers equitably with current taxpayers. And the definition of equitably is what is the net collection rate that you'll have on the duplicate for bond repayment. For instance, this year it's 6.2 mils. The goal is not to exceed 6.2 mils in a year going forward. very complicated process to lead up to that final result. For instance, in addition to tax collections under the bond millage, there's also some potential TIF payments, taxes in lieu of, you understand TIFs, okay, and or the permanent improvement levy. Those are three sources the district has chosen to use to retire that debt as rapidly as possible and still meet this threshold of millage for debt. Again, if you look at that far right-hand column on the first page, you can see that it's roughly 6.2 mils is our current projection. But the column next to that, and that's where we'll focus on tonight, this is how much you would need in the bright yellow column there based upon no refunding. That's how much you'll need from the permanent improvement levy in order to help meet that 6.2 mil target. The goal is to use the refunding to use fewer permanent improvement levy dollars for debt repayment and to spread that burden out a little more fairly over some future years versus the immediately current years. So this is what it looks like now, the first page. The next page, assuming interest rates don't move much, which is we always have to make that assumption with respect to refunding, because interest rates can move very quickly. It's highly unlikely that the Federal Reserve Bank has come out and said they don't anticipate pushing rates back up or allowing rates to go back up, at least until 2014. That can change in a heartbeat. But however, right now, those are the rules. So we think within the next 2 months, when a refunding could be completed, it's unlikely that interest rates move more than, say, 0.25%. That's our best guess right now. So this next page summarizes, if we go forward with the refunding as currently designed, and again, focusing on that bright yellow column, rather than just over $20 million in funds needed for the PI levy, over the remaining life of the 2002 bond issue, we'll need about $19.6 million. So we're able to reduce that burden on the PI levy significantly in the form of refunding some of the bonds and reducing your total debt service. In addition to reducing the total, we're also taking some of the requirements on the PI levy out of the first few years, putting a little bit more out of the future years. But still, the total is less than it would have been if you didn't do the refunding. You want to take a second to look at that column, because that's all the details that Cindy and I work on, and then all the bond issue, it all flows to that one column in terms of the benefits of the refunding.
This also does not include the amounts of the TIF, and we've got estimating about $800,000 per year. So that, you know, if you're looking at the projected needs from the PI levy, take that $800,000 out. So that really helps our PI levy. From what we were looking at, about $2 million there for a while, thinking now down to maybe $200,000 or less. So that... And if the TIF keeps increasing, if there's more buildings and things going on in those TIF areas, then that'll go up too.
And if you get to more historic growth levels in terms of assessed valuation, that 6.2 mils brings in more dollars. So that will also begin to push down how much you need on the permanent improvement level. But of course, you can't count on that, but it's probably safe that you're going to begin to see some growth off of a lower base, but some growth off of that new lower.
What's the downside to refinancing?
Smallest piece first. You have some expenses, just like any other bond issue. We get a fee. Your bond counsel gets a fee. So there's some cost of issuance, which we've got detailed here.
Sure.
Previous pages. So that's the first leg. You have to get past that. But all of these savings are already net of the cost of issuing the new bonds.
Okay.
These are true net numbers that are already in here.
Gotcha.
The other risk is more of an academic risk. Interest rates are very low right now. But if you wait and rates go even lower, you could lock in even greater savings. So that's the trade-off.
That's the Vegas option, right?
Yeah. And we can show you some charts if you want to see them. Historically speaking, there hasn't been a time cheaper to issue new debt than right now.
Gotcha. Now, these are for this year's. Do we also have bonds next year that are up for refinancing?
We won't have any additional bonds for refunding until about 2015.
Oh, 2015, okay.
But you've got a significant number of bonds starting in September of 2015 that you'll be able to refund.
Gotcha.
And so you can make further adjustments in your debt service if you need to about 3 years from now.
I gotcha.
Actually, you can make much bigger adjustments then than you can now.
Oh, really? That's
yeah.
Pretty big adjustment now.
This first page says match up what we'll we have our current PI forecast.
It's real close to that. Yeah.
And this whole thing is consistent with, we talked about this 3 or 4 months ago.
Right.
There's slightly updated numbers. Rates are a little bit lower, but it's essentially the same pattern as some last time.
In fact, I think we actually made this part of our fiscal plan, did we not?
Yes, it was.
I mean, we based that plan off of this option.
Right.
For those of you really having trouble sleeping, the last 4 pages go into the details of the bond issue, of the refunding bond issue. The first page shows the savings by year if we refund the 2002 bonds. And so the column on the right is a good place to start your focus. You can see in some years there's savings, in some years there's higher debt service requirements, because again, we're pushing some principal out, relatively speaking. But the net, based on today's interest rates, is roughly $850,000 in reduction in debt service, therefore reduction in taxes you'll have to collect for debt repayment. And these are net of cost efficient refunding bonds, which are detailed in a sort of summary fashion on the next page. So you have some idea of what's involved with bond issue. And the last 2 pages just identify the specific maturity, specific bonds that would be included in the refund.
Gotcha.
Sometimes I get the question, will the auditors look askance at this? There are school districts throughout Ohio who are doing exactly the same thing in terms of refundings. Interest rates are so attractive. Roughly 60% of our business right now are refundings.
Wow.
And Doug, this might be just a little than what our forecast, because our forecast is on fiscal year. This is on calendar year.
Okay, right. Because it's on collection year basis.
Collection year basis,
If you choose to start the process, we could have it all completed and your new interest rates locked in about 2 months. The big time consuming part there is when new bonds are issued, any bonds are issued, there has to be a disclosure document, an official statement that gets prepared. So you'll have the pleasure of doing that. And that takes some time to pull all that together so we can send that out to prospective buyers for bonds and keep the Internal Revenue Service
happy
off our back.
We always want to do that, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Legal is always helpful.
That's right. It looks good to me. Like I said, we talked about it a couple months ago, so I'm okay. You need direction from us to get the process going so that we're ready to go for next month?
As soon as you give Cindy the go-ahead, she'll have bond counsel prepare the resolutions if they haven't already been prepared. It's your formal approval for the process. And we can go ahead and, on a preliminary basis, begin the initial steps.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It won't cost anything until you've approved it.
Right. I mean, does anybody have an issue with moving this process forward? We're good to go.
Great. I'll give you a little more comfort. All the cost of issuance, none of which are paid unless the transaction takes place and the savings target is hit. So all that's on a contingency basis.
Okay. Great.
Thank
you for another riveting presentation, sir.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
That's my report.
Okay. That's it for the Treasurer's Report. Next up is the Legislative Report.
It's really short. Actually, the only thing that has been happening is the Pension Reforms Subcommittee has been meeting since July 18th, and they have hearings scheduled through September 18th. So this has actually been happening, I think, pretty much they've been having one a week, and that's all of the pension plans that they're covering. The first House and Senate sessions aren't scheduled until September 11th. On August 20th, there's a State Board of Education meeting it's a special meeting to consider replacement of the superintendent. And on August...
You mean the interim? Because the first guy, Stan Hefner, already stepped down, so they have an interim, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming they do, but this is a replacement. So.
This is to start the process to replace.
I got it.
They've already appointed.
And so that's a special meeting on August 20th. And on August 22nd is the next House Extended Subcommittee on Primary and Secondary Education, taking place in Akron. And this one is about the testimony on categorical funding, weighted student funding. And I think Doug maybe sent a link out to where you can get all of the documents.
Yes, he did.
Thank testimony,
you. Yep.
The studentloanfirst.ohiohouse.gov.
You did.
And then I think probably everybody received the legislative update from OSBA about having these breakfasts.
Oh, yeah.
In different areas for the Senate district and House districts for people who are running in Ohio for Senate and House, but ours are not included in any of those.
Our what?
Our districts, not, yeah, our Senate district is not included and our House district is
not
included.
I was just looking for Central Region. I thought it was.
But who we get to vote for.
No, I know. I mean, when I looked at it, I was like, oh, yeah, where's it in Columbus? But I guess I wasn't paying attention to actually who's
No, it actually lists the Senate district and the House district for the candidates or the people currently in place.
So none of them?
None. We're not covered in any of them. So
saves me a
you
morning.
You can still go to the breakfast and listen to other people you can't vote for, but if you just like having breakfast somewhere.
I'm lonely for breakfast that morning. I guess I know where to go.
Yeah, the closest one is Hilliard.
Yeah, they're having it at the board office or the Hilliard Extension office or whatever it is over there.
And Jim Hughes is currently in that Senate seat. I don't know who's in that. That's it for the legislative report.
All right, thank you. Next up is the Finance Committee report. Finance Committee.
I'll take care of that.
All right.
We met on August 7th, and the majority of our meeting was a wonderful presentation by Mike White reviewing all of the facilities, everything that his department covers, kind of going through a budget, going through a plan of attack for different things that are needed over the next 5 years, I think. And so it was a very detailed presentation. I think it gave the committee a good idea of everything that goes on and all the research that they do and considerations that they put with safety and students, et cetera. And so that took up the majority of the meeting, and then we also talked about adding new members to the group, and so we have received a couple of names for teacher representatives and also a community member, and so Greg Roars agreed to become a new member of the committee. He was here earlier, and then Keith Moeller will also be a member of the committee. And I think other than that, that was really the majority of the meeting. I know the committee is going to be, looking at that PI forecast. They're also going to be working on cash balance, getting information about cash balance policies to give us some direction in that area.
So you're looking at other districts on what they do?
Looking at other districts and looking at their own companies. Get kind of that, both views. The business view and the educational view. And I think that was pretty much it.
All right.
That seemed to cover everything. Okay. Our next meeting is September 10th.
All right. Thank you for that. All right. Next up, we have public participation. And John Michael Turk?
Yes, sir.
Right, would like to talk to us about the Quarterback Club and the Spielman Grid Iron Classic.
Yes. Thank you. When I came June 28th, I believe was the last meeting I came to, and since then we've been making all kinds of arrangements. So I just wanted to, real quickly, some key dates that are coming up here within the next couple of weeks. The fundraisers that we're doing, and then a couple of other little things, special things. I can't tip our hand to everything.
We're sure. We don't want to spill the beans here, my friend.
Not too much. So it should all start that Monday, the 27th, August 27th, with the articles in the newspaper. I've been in contact with Tim Miller this week. This guy's put together articles, and the Spielman people have given us some standard stuff to add to and put out there. We're trying to add our own twist on the story. So on the 29th, Wednesday, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., a tailgate auction at Benny's Pizza. Both booster clubs, Jonathan Alder and the Monarch Quarterback Club, are gathering three major items, or packages, as we're calling them, to auction off, to see who can raise the most money at that auction, which booster club can raise the most money. Half of the money that's raised goes right towards the Spielman Gridiron Classic. The other half comes back to the booster. And that's after the, if we have to buy stuff to add in the packages, after that money's taken out, of course. So that'll be for the auction at Benny's. And also Benny's is offering, they're going to, 10% of their proceeds that night, or the profit that night, they're going to donate to the Gridiron Classic also.
Same thing. Nice.
Very cool.
Split everything half and half with them, and then the two boosters get to split the half. For the game itself, a couple things. We've got a special program cover yesterday. I believe the pink t-shirts went on, and they went out and got a picture taken for that. Oh, yeah, we have these four neon fluorescent pink t-shirts. Matter of fact, there is a picture in that packet I gave you. And Don Burns has been a godsend for this project, and along with Holly and Jeff Ashnagel, and a lot of people are really pouring a lot of time in. Oh, yeah, yeah, and I think it's Don's, one of Don's kids that did the modeling. but we also have the Wayfarer sunglasses and the Mars that are pink. So got all kinds of things going for that. So the program cover, they took a photo yesterday. Pre-game speaker, they're trying to get that's to be announced yet, but we'll have somebody do a little pre-game speech. Last year it was Chris Fielding's daughter, Maddie, Chris and Stephanie's daughter, did it. At the end of the third quarter, we'll be announcing the raffle winner, and that raffle is the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer entry, and we're doing this with the Jonathan Alder parents also. We all pitched in. It was $1,200 for each booster to pitch in to provide a trip or two on the 2013 Buckeye Cruise for Cancer, hotel accommodations the night before the cruise, two tickets to the pre-party with a nationally known country music artist, and $500 Southwest Airlines gift card in order to get you down to Tampa for your free hotel room and go on the cruise. You don't have to be present to win, and it's $10 per ticket. And basically, both boosters went in halves on the package deal, and we split the tickets so we can sell it and raise money for the cause. So that'll be one of the things that's going on. We'll announce that raffle winner at the third quarter. And at the post game, there are trophies that will be presented. And Michelle even showed us up on YouTube. There's a video where the director, Bob Hendricks, and also the Ohio National Guard is going to be coming out.
When do you start selling those raffle tickets?
They're for sale right now.
I'm just trying to get the word out for anybody might solicit. I mean, where would someone go to find those raffle tickets?
Any of the board members, we'll have them in the Spirit Items trailer that we're using at all the events now.
Okay.
You can pick them up at REMAX Winners. I believe the hospital will have them. What's the place? The hospital, Richwood Bank. So that way you can cover both Plain City and Marysville. Okay. They're doing it for us. And I brought some with me if you're really hungry. those will be out. They are out. We'll start selling those now. The post-game presentations. So the fundraisers, the pink t-shirts, mentioned the glasses, luminary glow sticks, the cheerleaders. We have about 300 of these pink glow sticks and white bags to do as luminaries. The cheerleaders are going to do that, of course. Carol Parks, Kristen Perry, helping us out with all that. And also, they're doing the ribbons for survivors. The cheerleaders will be doing that as people come up either walkway, visiting team or our team. If anybody identifies themselves as a cancer survivor, they'll be given a pink ribbon to wear.
Very cool.
And also be able to place glow sticks, luminary. The local restaurants, actually it started 2 weeks ago at B-Dubs, and this week at Boston's, and every week up until next couple of weeks, that local restaurants are donating 10% of whatever, you know, we round up people and get them to go there, 10% of the proceeds for that night, of their profit comes towards the event. So that's another little fundraiser we're doing for it. Let's see, the three-item auction, the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer. So those were the main items. Other than that, and the t-shirts and sunglasses and all that will be for sale in the Spirit Items trade. So we have this, which has turned out that people really like that. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but we were able to sell all the advertising down one side of it and then almost paid for half of the trailer right away just from that. So it took some pressure off the sales, you know, the margin that we have to try to get to recoup. We set a 2-year payback, a return on investment on the trailer. Well ahead of that schedule. Tomorrow, just a heads up for you all, tomorrow's our jamboree at Hilliard Darby. It's a scrimmage. Freshmen play at 6 p.m., varsity play at 7 p.m., and the JV play at 8 p.m. So it's a kind of a special scrimmage at the format that they're doing. And we will have a Spirit Items trailer there trying to equip our fans, Monarch and Loyal supporters. So. I think that's just about it. Other than you might notice we have new paw prints painted on the walkway going up to the stadium. The name stencils are being made this week for the seniors to be able to put their names on their things so they don't have to do it by hand. So, and then the whole idea was to be able to give each senior their stencils. So that way when we are doing the paw prints, we've got a sign-up sheet for people to be able to sign up and have paw prints on the driveway. Mm-hmm. It's been probably 10 years since Jesse Cepeda showed up at my house for wrestling, and my paw prints are all worn off, so we're going to experiment on my driveway to make sure we get the technique down right, using the stencils. But then the McAuliffe's, we went there, and that's Dan. He told me that's where they got it before, so they steered us towards the right colors and the right thing to be used. So we're doing the paw prints. So I think that's just about it, other than the discount cards, too. We've got those ones.
Interesting.
Very happy. The color's great. The schedule's on the front. And lots of discounts on the back.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
That's the update. What's going on with this?
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wanted to address the board? All right. Is Donna still here? Or did she leave? Oh. Is she going to be here the whole meeting? Okay. Moving on then. Next, we have a motion that we had tabled at our last meeting. So I need a motion to untable the motion for the Marysville extracurricular eligibility requirements for homeschool students. That was the action item from July 26, 2012. Can I have a motion to untable that, please?
So moved.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Sue.
The lady in pink.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
And Mrs. Powers.
Okay, motion carries. Okay, so the current motion on the table is one that was moved by Doug and seconded by Tracy. So it is the active motion. So I will open that up for discussion, please.
We don't have to move that up.
No, it is on the table. So just please be recognized for discussion.
I like the changes that were made. I think that kind of addressed some of the concerns that we discussed.
Okay, we can do this one of two ways. We can either approve the changes or we can make a motion to addendum and if we really need to go through that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I don't think, again, it's really...
Yeah.
It's just open for discussion right now.
Well, yeah, if you wouldn't mind just recognizing Ms. Powers.
Yes. I still have a problem with just one subject. When we tell our athletes they have to attend 4 periods in order to be eligible to play that day, I think we're opening up a huge can of worms by saying an outside homeschool child can come in for 1 period and play. And if I were a parent, I would have a real problem with that.
I'll recognize me. What's your suggestion?
My suggestion is that if we want to lower the standard, then we lower the standard for the kids that come to school every day and are not tardy and attend classes and everything else. So if we're going to say they only have to be in one period, then I think that kids that play on whatever sport only have to be here for one period too. Why? It has to be fair. This is not fair, in my opinion. And I feel that the children, you know, there's going to be issues raised, and if a child is out and they only come to three periods, and yet you're going to let a child from the outside play with one period, then there's just going to be a lot of issues we're going to face, I feel, with the parents of kids that are in school. I think it's going to open up a lot of issues that we're going to have to deal with.
Recognize me again, because I can do that. We had asked you to get some feedback from Joe Blind and from the high school people. Do you have some of that feedback for us?
I do. I sent you an initial email with some of his responses and had a couple conversations with him. It's kind of all over the board. Typically not a huge number of students take advantage of it. Most districts have that run through a curriculum person or assistant superintendent, whoever that person has turned their approved curriculum in for homeschooling. They are also responsible to turn the grades into that person and forward them on to the athletic director. One of the issues that even one school district is considering revamping because they're having a very difficult time getting the grades submitted from the parents. So they have made the policy that the child remains ineligible, in essence, until the student grades are received. And there, that was kind of the feedback he got from the AV and principals meetings.
Thank you. Mr. Lesser.
I just wanted to kind of comment on the whole idea of fair versus, and fair is not always equal. You know, and homeschool kids, that they have the whole, I mean, it's not like they sit at home, play video games all day, and then they show up to one class, and I don't want to send that message that they're somehow, they don't work as hard, because we don't know how hard they work. And I think our measure of that is them reporting based on whatever our requirements are. The other thing is the only, one of the issues with having a second class and having even a second class is, Now we're requiring a parent to maybe possibly make three trips to the district every day, you know, for practice for one class, unless they can, you know, put them together. And I understand that's, you know, if there's, I just think that one class makes it more reasonable that this is going to work on the homeschooler side of things. And I don't see a huge negative on this side of just having one class from our end of it, personally. Okay. There's other districts that do one class, and it is the state requirements.
Any other discussion? Ms. Greer?
I would agree that I think just requiring the one class, which is what the requirement is in the Ohio Revised Code, is sufficient. And just because they're only taking one class in our school doesn't mean they're not being educated for the rest of the day. So I disagree with for them needing to take more classes in one of our actual buildings. And the purpose of this, I believe, is to give these kids equal access. So I would agree with going with the one class requirement.
Sue, I'm gonna cue Sue up first. Go ahead.
Okay. I very much like the change so that if we were to have it at one class, it has to at least be a core class. But I just think one class is just a little bit light. I don't know, and I don't have a great reason why. But I don't know. I'd be happier with three, actually. just think, you know, during that season, it just seems to make more sense to me to have them here at school a little bit more. And I, you know, if you've got a homeschool kid and they're going to be involved in extracurricular activity, you're going to make a lot of trips regardless.
Understood.
You know, even when they're in school,
right,
you still make a lot of trips.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think that would make too much of a difference. I mean, if they are committed to wanting to be on you know, part of that team, I think it would be helpful to have them in the school a little bit more during the day.
Ms. Lassner.
I was just going to comment and say I also like that requirement before adding the core class. The reality is we increase the number of classes, there's less of a chance that it's going to be a workable for us. We're going to have less kids doing it. I just think that's a reality. And I think that what that means is that there are probably kids out there that would have benefited from participating in our extracurricular activities, and for not having a good reason to increase the classes, we're prohibiting them from doing that, or not prohibiting them, but maybe the end result is that they're not going to do that. And I just, you know, in the spirit of wanting to look out for the interests of all the kids in our district, I think, start off with the one class thing. We see there's a lot of pushback and a lot of issues with that, and we can adjust it.
I'm going to add on, since I'm the last one. I like the changes as well, not only because I added them in, but I think they answered a lot of the questions I had. I would, and I agree, fair isn't always equal. I agree with that statement. But I think when we put a policy together, I think our obligation is to at least be equitable. You know, that we're applying the same standard to one group as we are every other group. I would agree. Five is probably too much. One is probably too few. I would agree with Sue though. As I look at that, I would be okay with doing a three, making them come in for three. I mean, I would agree to that. I can't say that one applies the same standard to everyone. I just don't think it does. And that's just.
Can you? Go ahead.
Just to give you something to think about, my experience in another district, really, you said one and it had to be a core. Let's think about the kid who wants to be an orchestra that's homeschooled. Would that be considered a core? My guess would be that's not what we were thinking, but that is a very popular choice of band, choir, orchestra, opportunities for the performing arts as well. So I would just encourage you to think along those lines.
Is orchestra an extracurricular?
Well, we don't have orchestra here, but choir and those things are embedded in the school day. They're co-curricular.
Correct.
So we wouldn't give them the same opportunity to come for that one class? Are we only talking extra?
I'm assuming that would be.
Okay.
What we assume?
It would be the same standard across. I mean, co-curricular and extracurricular, I would assume so. I mean, it'd be like, what are you going to do in the elementary school again if they want to take part in the choir that they're doing after school? I mean, I get it. I mean, how do you monitor those kids? What's one class for an elementary school kid? I'm asking you, how do we put that standard out there?
Well, one class, that's what we're going to have to determine. One class in my provision at elementary would be a little more difficult to define, especially when you're talking core. If it's, my experience truly has been that at the younger grades, that's when they want the performing arts piece. And obviously that would not be fitting into your core. One class would be that time period that they're at special.
Correct.
Or art.
Yes, ma'am.
We're not talking about elementary, though, are we?
This policy is for middle school.
Middle and high.
Correct.
Yes, sir.
I guess the part I'm having a hard time with is.
I'm sorry. I was looking around, so I'm not the only one.
No, that's fine.
So.
I don't know why I talk quiet here. The issue I have, I guess, part of me having a hard time reconciling is, you know,
we're talking about increasing the number of classes because we have this perception that it's somebody out there is going to perceive it as unfair that they have to be here 4 days or four periods, and the homeschooler person is getting off easy. I think it's there's some perception there. And then we say it's because it's more equitable, but then I can't reconcile that with, well, what about the kid that goes to High Point? Or what about when we had the Digital Academy? I mean, the requirements for Digital Academy's attendance wasn't that you had to participate in those, but you had to log in. I mean, and we didn't seem to care about it then. And so to me, I just see us going down a path of keeping these kids from the homeschool kids from participating in extracurricular activities, and there's no real solid reason for it. That's my perception. And increasing it to 3 is pretty much going to be about what we have today. We have 4. So you're probably going to have the same
amount of participation. I think we have 5.
Is it 5?
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Probably have the same amount of participation.
Well, we've discussed it to death, to be honest. So, we can do an up or down vote on 1, and we can do an up or down vote on 3.
I say we put 1 to a vote, and then...
Okay.
Goes down, and you guys can adjust it.
Okay. Then we have a motion and a second on the table. So then I need a roll call for the policy as amended with the wording amendments, and that's it.
The one core class.
Yeah. IJ and K added to the policy. Everybody agreeable to that?
Yes.
Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
No.
Mrs. Devine?
No.
Mrs. Powers?
No.
Okay, the motion does not carry. I would be willing to amend that policy to move it to 3, but I need a second to amend that, motion to change that date, that subject from 1 to 3.
Second.
So there's a move and a second, then I need a... Hold on, just gotta write. And that's the motion to amend the policy to 1 or to 3. All right, roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, then I need a motion to accept the policy as amended.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Any further discussion on the amended policy? Hearing none, can I have a roll call? Mrs. Greer.
I have one question.
Yes.
So is it going to be 3 core classes or just 3
no,
classes?
No, it
says 1 minimum, right?
One core class and 3 classes total.
Okay. That was my only question.
Any further discussion?
That was you moved.
I moved. Doug.
I moved.
I believe Doug moved in. I think I seconded. Yeah. So hearing no further discussion, then can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. Next up. Oh, I'm sorry. But before we go, I want to make sure I recognize Donna Lottage for putting this together tonight. And thank you for staying around a little bit longer so I can thank you. She made those cookies. They're all homemade cookies tonight. So she made those on her own. And the decorating was unbelievable.
Excellent.
That's it, that training. So thank you very much. Thank you for that. She just sat there at the end of the meeting. All right, next up, I need a motion to approve the July 26, 2012 regular meeting minutes, the July 31st, 2012 special meeting minutes, and the August 14th, 2012 special minutes as submitted by the treasurer.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Is there any discussion? I know there was one modification to the minutes.
Right.
That I will note. We had approved the coach as paid for by BAM Boosters. We amended the minutes to show that he was just paid out of the general fund, just as a because
there was also a typo error on the one
motion.
It said Mrs. Powers moved and seconded. But
wow.
She was powerful that time.
Wow. She was waving that wand a little bit.
Actually, Mrs. Devine did the second.
Okay. So those were the two changes to those. Was there any further discussion on those? If not, then I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the Treasurer CFO action items. I need a motion to approve item A of the Treasurer CFO action items, please. Second. Moved and second. Cindy.
There was basic information in there. Not a whole lot was going on. It was July. Swamped getting things done. So any questions?
Any discussion from the board? Hearing none then, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Divine.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve superintendent action items A through H. Okay. No, second. You're seconding? Okay. Moved and second then. Diane.
Nothing.
Do you have nothing to add to the superintendent's report? Was there any discussion from the board?
I have questions about the supplementals. So the webmasters, are they involved in this new transition?
They will be.
So right now they're just kind of continuing with what we have in place.
Right. They're working with what we've got. And they'll be the ones that will be trained along with whoever else wants to be.
Okay. Do we foresee that changing in the future, like in terms of having, will we still have webmasters for the teachers?
I don't know. We really haven't discussed that. So you're still going to need somebody within the buildings to, you know, put the data in and everything.
Cool.
Any further questions? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. I'm going to actually address item 14 first. So I need a motion to approve the 2012-2013 district bus stops, please.
Moved.
Second.
Moved and second. I know that Sue volunteered the other day to drive those routes. So
to make sure that made sense.
Yeah. And so pending her thumbs up, everything went okay?
Smooth.
Okay. Amy's awesome.
Were there any further discussion on that? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes. Motion carries. All right. Were there any further comments and questions from the board members? I will start from my right. Mrs. Powers?
No.
Mr. Lassiter?
No.
Mrs. Devine?
I just also want to say what a nice morning it was, and it was very exciting to be there.
Thank you.
Great atmosphere.
Mrs. Greer?
It was. It was a nice morning. It was very inspiring, energetic. Thank you for inviting us.
I will triple down on that particular comment. That's probably the best convocation I've been to since I've been there. It was really, if you didn't walk out of there just ready to go, you better check your pulse. It was fantastic. So thank you for that. It was fantastic. Either of you ladies have any further comments for the board? Okay, if not, then I move that we move into executive session to discuss personnel.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Powers.
Yes.
Okay, we are in executive session at 8:12.